Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am your host, Chris Spangle. To my left is Greg Lenz.
Chris, how are you, buddy?
You finally moved to my left.
I did.
I love that joke. Also joining us is in a Make America Great Again hat, Rob Kendall.
Celebrating the day America became great again, 2/9/16. It'll go down as a great day in history, the day that American voters finally rose up.
So after we kind of finish up this little bonus piece, you're going to hear our interview with Rob. Where are we? Where is this interview?
So it will air Thursday night, which is the 11th, at WYRZ 98.9 in Hendricks County, west side of Indianapolis, Boone County. And WYRZ.org, and then podcast at WYRZ.org as well.
So Rob Kendall actually put Greg and I on the radio. Can
and you guys were it? Very well behaved. We do want to say a special thank you to station manager Shane Ray for allowing me to do this. Sometimes he allows me to play outside the boundaries they have for the... He does allow me to play sometimes outside of the Central Indiana Today parameters that we have, which is supposed to be interviews with elected and appointed officials. But we do newsmakers sometimes, and I told him you were an appointed official for a while. So.
Yeah, I started on the Hava Commission. I've gone. I actually did serve on a state board at one point.
And, did you really?
Yeah, the Help America Vote Act Commission.
Greg Lenz was
banned from politics forever.
Greg Lenz was on the Fine Brian Kill Committee.
I was. That is true. I was actually alleged to be him.
So Brian Kill. Explain that real quick.
Brian Kill is a guy, an internet online terrorist that terrorized my hometown, and I tend to get fired up when it involves Plainfield because I love where I came from, and I decided I was going to harass him as bad as I could, and that turned into me being suspected of being the individual. But now I feel good because then I was brought onto the task force to track him down.
And so do you believe the latest statement that he's made, that he's from somewhere else and he has no idea who the person was and he was just having fun?
No, I feel like they're getting a little close.
Really?
See, I disagree. I think that the level of technical prowess that this person had, clearly they weren't from Plainfield and they weren't in high school.
No, I don't think they were either of those two things at all.
By the way, Spangle's girlfriend is blowing up his phone today.
Is she?
I mean, I feel like it's just an incessant line of text messaging.
It isn't. It's honestly other people who think that my girlfriend has killed me.
So. And she's well justified to have done that, to be honest.
Of course.
Yeah. Are you dead?
She's my girlfriend. So, thank you very much, Rob, for having us on your show.
You guys are great. I love the We Are Libertarians podcast. I listen to it all the time. I'm a huge fan. And when I'm working out a lot of times, I'll just leave it on for the hour.
Thank you. Awesome.
So let's talk a little bit about presidential politics. Tell us when we got to wrap up, and then we'll introduce your show here in a second. Last night in New Hampshire, we had the Iowa caucuses coming out of there. Ted Cruz won.
Who cheated. Yes. He misled the voters of Iowa. Very deceptive.
Right. Donald Trump, he can't stand the ego wound that he lost the Iowa caucuses. Ted Cruz ended up winning.
Ted Cruz belittled and besmirched a minority neurosurgeon to win the Iowa caucus.
That is true, Ted. And I think we covered that in the last podcast.
Yeah, and he's Canadian. So this is all irrelevant because he can't even run for office if he wanted to.
So then we move into New Hampshire. Bernie and
Hillary.
Kathy Lee, or what was her name? Hillary? They
Kathy Lee Gifford.
Flipped a coin toss. And
yeah.
And then so Hillary won. And then last night in New Hampshire, Trump and Bernie Sanders, they called it with... Like 5 minutes after the polls closed, they called it for Trump and Bernie.
Well, somebody reported that during the day, Fox News called it.
They that actually happened, and they said it was a glitch. But everybody was like, "God, are they even going to do analysis? Or are they just going to?" They were. It was a dream world. They could talk Trump for 24 hours.
See,
solid.
I feel bad because I gave up my cable because I really don't watch it. So now I had to watch Newsmax TV last night.
That's not true. No. You hang out at the McDonald's creepily.
The local McDonald's, who actually let me put campaign signs out when I ran for town council. They're huge Rob Kendall fans.
Well, he does eat a Big Mac a day. Let him put the signs out.
I mean, they were, and the guy that I was running against at the time actually called and started screaming at him, and they told him, shut up, our taxes are too high.
Don't you have a friend who can give you a login to like their Xfinity?
Well, my girlfriend doesn't really like it when I watch TV a lot of times because she feels like it distracts from her.
Is she living with you?
So no, she is not. Made that mistake once before.
Good Republican household.
Somebody's ruling the roost, and it ain't Rob.
But I am able to get the Newsmax TV, which is the conservative propagandist television network thing.
Yeah, it's like None of the Good Thinkers.
Yeah, it's J.D. Hayworth, and I watch those sort of things and think, I am so much better than these guys. How am I not on there?
Exactly. I do that too. Yeah. I watch CNN. I'm like, I have such a different point of view than any of these guys.
Well, I went to CNN because I figured one of these TV stations has to be available online. So I went to CNN, and apparently they have a preview thing where they give you like 2 minutes. And I was like, oh, cool. CNN's online. And I was watching it. And after like 2 minutes, it stopped.
You should use Periscope. A lot of people actually just will like live stream via Periscope in the Twitter app or whatever the news coverage is. And you can watch it that way.
I fear a lot of these social media applications, though.
This one's just purely live streaming. Like Aaron Ewert,
yes,
if you're familiar with him, he uses it to talk to Saudi princes and troll them. But most people use it, they'll actually like have it up at a sporting event or for news or whatever, and you can find about anything you want if you want to get news coverage.
I've got my brother's login, so I watch CNN.
Yeah,
so
and you love Jake Tapper and Anderson Cooper.
So anyways, let me finish up here with what happened in New Hampshire, and let's give a little analysis because we're short on time. So second place was Ted Cruz because Cruz has the evangelical lane all to himself.
Did he know Kasich got second?
Oh, Kasich got second.
Yeah,
you're right.
By
yeah,
a
yeah.
bunch. And then Jeb. Ted.
And then?
Well, no, then it was Cruz.
Yeah, then Cruz, then Jeb.
I'm thinking of South Carolina. I was listening to South Carolina before we got here.
It's going to get nasty in South Carolina,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
He's going to win huge.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
He's
anyway,
got a
go ahead. Sorry.
Point lead.
So.
Very wonderful.
One thing that I've kind of noted is that for all the talk about how you have to be social conservative to win the Republican primary, to be honest, you couldn't be less social conservative than Donald Trump. And then there's the moderates who are – there's like five moderates at this point, although Carly and Christ dropped out.
Christy. Christ is still in the race.
Christ, that's right, Ted Cruz.
Until Ben Carson drops.
I'm sorry, because we're not at my kitchen table, I'm out of my element.
Well,
you're
just
like,
you're very brave to step up in new environment. And
I know, and it's weird. It's like I'm not in control here. I'm sitting on like an ottoman or something.
It's very comfortable, though.
In a way, you're podcast swinging.
I am, kinda, yeah. We're using equipment that isn't mine. The headphones sound different. It's very odd. So, the moderates seem to be doing well. So, boys, do you have to be social conservative to win the Republican primary anymore?
Let Rob go. He's the guest.
I'm the guest in my own studio.
That's
this
right.
This is great.
Cucked.
No, you do not. I think Rush. Do you like Rush, by the way? You're a radio guy.
Yeah, I respect his talent. I don't agree with him philosophically a lot, but I do respect his talent, and he's entertaining.
So, Rush talked about this the other day, and he was talking about how... Trump is basically Pat Buchanan of 1996 on steroids. He's so much more charismatic. He's not tied to the conservative movement.
So true.
He's basically running the Pat Buchanan 1996 campaign, except Pat Buchanan was sounding an alarm.
Right.
That nobody really was paying attention to. The enemy is at the gates now and is in the building at this point. So Trump is not a conservative. And that's, I get so many people that ask me that, and I'm sure you do too, say, you're a conservative. How could you be for Trump? I said, because he's the only guy that says things that I agree with, and I don't even agree with 30% of the stuff he says, but he's the only guy who says things that I agree with. I really liked Cruz in the beginning, but he has just seemed so slimy the past couple weeks.
He really is. He's kind of a gross person.
Yeah, it just really seems like dirty tricks are part of politics. I get it. He did it to Carson. Just smile and move on, but don't stand up on a debate stage and go, oh, I'm so sorry, we should get together and chat it out. I'm really sorry, I apologize. That doesn't get Carson his delegates back.
He just seems like a phony who is acting really well.
Yeah, yeah,
we talked about that last podcast.
The thing I was talking, my dad's a lifelong Republican, and he's struggling with who to support. You know, there are things about Donald that appeal to him about not being beholden to anybody and that independence. But, you know, with Ted Cruz, it's like, you know, he goes, can I trust him? And I'm like, well, the thing is, you can trust Ted Cruz to follow his belief in the Constitution till the day he dies. But if he's going to do something for you, or you think that you're going to be partners on something non-constitutionally related, he will bury you if it's not in his interest, and he can't wait to. He's a snake in the grass. So he's a snake oil salesman that is the most principled left of the Republicans on his political philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, we judge candidates by two factors, their personality and their principles. And on a personality front, Ted Cruz couldn't be more unlikable. you know, and on policies, he's probably closer on economics and constitutional issues than, but, you know, like on immigration, libertarians are largely open borders. He's definitely not a non-interventionist.
No, I mean, he's really having to try to build a coalition that can compete, because the coalition Trump's putting together has never been put together before. It's 20% white Democrats that are pro-union, and they love his stance on the trade, not being free trade. You know, he thinks it's a bad deal, so he's going to try to renegotiate those. And then tapping into the fear of Muslims and radical Islam is an easy sell. It's arguably the easiest sell in America.
I don't think I've ever been, it's never been more clear that Republicans largely are racist than that exit poll that NBC did, with 66% of Republican voters wanted to ban Muslims.
Well, no,
from the United
States. No, wait. So wait a second. So here's what Trump proposed. We just had this conversation today. Trump did not propose banning Muslims, kicking them out of the United States. Any person who's a U.S. citizen has the same rights they do today. What he said is, we have a legal immigration system in which we have no idea who's coming into this country, why they're here, or what they're doing. So until we do, because we saw 20 people lose their lives in California from people who took advantage of the visa system. And he's saying, until we figure out who's here and why, no more people like that in this country. I'm not saying I agree with it. I think it's a bit extreme. But art of the deal, which is what he's doing, is art of the deal. Says you ask for something far greater than you'll ever get, and then you circle back and take something that works for you.
But see, that is showmanship. And
it
yes,
works.
On some level, politics is entertainment. If you watch CNN, I was watching the debate the other night, the Democratic debate.
Because you have cable.
I have CNN, and so they would cut in. I was actually watching.
It must be nice to be wealthy.
I know. Well,
he's a big media mogul, though.
I have the login of someone else, and so they would do cut-ins on the internets, and it was like there was this guy. I mean, it was like what's the Dodgeball movie? Dodgeball. Where like
with Vince Vaughn.
It was like Ocho. I mean,
oh, ESPN the Ocho.
Yeah, you've got Wolf Blitzer screaming at you, and please, dear baby Jesus, can this be the last election cycle I have to listen to Wolf Blitzer?
What was the guy's name? Cotton on that?
Cotton. Yes. Well, that's a bold move, Cotton. He went to ban all Muslims. But you have thoughtful public policy. Like, I listen to Jeb Bush, and I wouldn't vote for Jeb Bush, and I don't agree with him on a lot of policies, but the guy does seem very thoughtful about public policy.
But see, you're getting sucked into, and I'm surprised you would do this, because you're one of the smartest people I know. You're sucked into how and why somebody gets to the point versus that they get there. Jeb Bush, yes, he may be a very quiet,
low energy,
please clap, well-written sort of person, but he's a loser. Trump's a winner. Who cares how he gets there as long as he gets there? The guy's been successful
at everything
he's ever done.
But that isn't how government works. That's not how any of this works.
And maybe it should.
Well, I don't know. FDR, I think you can make a really strong case that FDR used the bully pulpit the exact same way that Donald Trump did. He came in as, I don't care about rules. I'm going to do what I want. I'll pack the Supreme Court. We're going to pass the New Deal. If you Republicans don't like it, you can leave. And he talked about these big things that weren't constitutional, but he was going to pursue them anyway because what he was going to get out of it was better than anything in existence.
So seven minutes, and I have a big announcement at the end.
All right, so you are arguing that we should just circumvent the Constitution, which is exactly what Donald Trump would do.
Well, yeah.
If he were president.
I don't support him circumventing the Constitution. You mistake a lot of my Trump support is that independence, that the establishment can be overthrown. And more so than anything, nothing gives me greater joy in life than watching Democrats just squirm. And I've waited for so long to watch holier-than-thou liberals, oh, we care, multiculturalism forced down everybody's throat, I need safe spaces on campus. I've been waiting for the backlash for this for many, many years.
But you are basically arguing that because it's good for your feels, you want to support Donald Trump.
It is, and I take that clearly, and it's not a principled vote. I'm doing it because it feels
what
good.
What does he propose that's unconstitutional, though?
That's actually a good point.
It's a good question. You can clearly answer it if he's done so many things. What does he propose that's unconstitutional?
Making Mexico pay for the wall, he probably doesn't have authority to offer such a proposition.
Isn't any way that Mexico will pay for the wall.
Okay, but that's a policy proposal. It's something that he's trying to enforce. He says, we will build a wall. Now, it's his job to get Mexico to see it's in their interest to pay for it. If he can't do it, then okay, but that's not unconstitutional.
Donald Trump is the type of person that would use executive authority to the max to get what he needs done.
No, no, no. I asked you what he's proposed that's unconstitutional. What policy proposal does he have that's unconstitutional? Because you can't say...
I don't think that banning all Muslims from entering the country would actually hold up.
That was a stay, though. That was a stay until the process can begin.
I don't think that that would actually hold up in court.
I don't think
it'd be found constitutional.
That's a good point. You could challenge that. So he might have an unconstitutional proposal if the Supreme Court decided that a moratorium on immigration was outside the boundaries.
And I don't think it's a crazy illogical leap to say that a guy who would propose those two things, which are so batshit crazy, that he would propose other items, other issues or other proposals that would go beyond the scope of the Constitution, that he would increase executive authority. So here's a guy who looks at Congress as he doesn't like roadblocks. The Constitution and the Congress to this guy would be roadblocks. And so here's the problem. You can have an idealist like Trump, Cruz, or Bernie Sanders as a candidate. That's fine. It makes you feel good. You're going to get Barack Obama, the candidate. That made everybody feel good. But the fact is, you're going to end up with Barack Obama, the president. Barack Obama, the president, has been an incredible disappointment to most progressives. You know, Bill Press has a new book out about that. And
you're reading Bill Press?
No, I heard an interview with Bill Press talk about it. Because I am, I listen to POTUS Politics.
You're
on
a citizen.
That's awesome.
You're a citizen of the
world.
Isn't
it great?
That is awesome.
POTUS Politics is the best.
Everyone should listen to that.
It's the best. I love it. Except Smirkanish. Screw that guy. That's not nice. If he listens, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
I think we're okay.
I'm emotional.
Trump has me. Chris is about to make this podcast great again.
I'm feeling the Trump.
Chris, and I said this in my forefront column the other day. I'm not sure Trump would be a good president, but I like the fact that for once, the establishment who has put their boot on conservatives and libertarian-leaning Republicans for years and years and years. I remember when I was working for the state auditor's office and we would go around to these Lincoln days, and Tim Barry, who for whatever reason was appointed head of the Republican Party and then magically drifted away as head of the Republican Party with little fanfare, was giving these speeches, and he was talking about this idea of unity. And this was in 2013, and what he was trying to say was, no more Murdochs, no more conservatives. You guys are going to like who we pick, and you conservatives are going to shut up and vote for him. That's what he was saying. And it's just so offensive that when it's the establishment Republican, whether it's Romney or Paul Ryan or whoever.
John McCain.
It's, oh, everybody needs to come together and coalesce. But when it's somebody that the conservatives like, oh, we're not having any part of that. I won't participate in
Wacko
that.
Bird caucus.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it's so I am so excited to see some guy who is powerful enough, and Trump is the only guy powerful enough to do this, to say, you guys don't make the rules anymore.
I can definitely see that and appreciate that view and understand it. As somebody who has worked to build a third party for the last several years, hard for 4 years, and then not hard.
You've been loafing lately.
Yeah. I can certainly understand that point of view.
So, well, you would too if you under. It's like any political party.
I would say that the establishment will stop at nothing to stop Trump, like they did with Ron Paul, and they control the election law, and so they control the nominating process, and they will make sure that if they don't want Trump, he won't be president.
Hey,
the one difference though is he beats Hillary in every state they need. And so he's the one candidate that beats her in Ohio head to head without John Kasich.
And he hasn't started campaigning yet. I think he will be a great campaigner. I think he will actually have infrastructure when the time is right, like you've never seen before. But, hey, before we get out of here, because we're running short on time, Bruce Kendall wanted to let you know that while he is stuck at home in his cage, he loves We Are Libertarians, and he wanted to make this donation to the We Are Libertarians podcast.
That is great. Bruce is Rob's dog, and Bruce is the official emotional support animal of We Are Libertarians.
Yes.
And
we're trying to get him registered with the state with such a title.
And more than anything, he's a very good boy.
Yes, he's wonderful. He donated all of his birthday. He had a birthday party last year, donated all of that money to the radio station, WIRZ. It gets his name on the donor list every couple times a day. He's the Silver Donor Club. Yes, instead of birthday presents, Bruce said, just please donate to the little can on the radio station that they had set out there and raised like $200. So Bruce is a fundraising juggernaut.
Please give him a treat for us. please take a photo of Bruce. We'll post it on We're Libertarians and thank him. And if
we'll
anybody,
meme Bruce.
And if anybody out there,
he still doesn't know if he's a, what a Fuhrer is. He's still a little confused.
Right. You know, I think a lot of people probably wouldn't take to that title as readily as Bruce has, and that does worry me.
He's very confused, and I told him, I said, at some point Uncle Greg is going to come over and explain it to you.
We've had quite
a few people donate. I unfortunately was ill prepared. I didn't think we'd make this an episode until I got here, and I was like, let's make this an episode. This works. So we will honor our contributors. If you want to contribute, thank you. If you have, you can donate at WeirdLibertarians.com to help keep the pirate ship afloat. Thank you, Rob, for having us.
Yes, thank you very much for coming on.
It's been a lot of fun. And so now, here on Central Indiana Today, is the lovely, the vivacious, the foxy Rob Kendall.
Welcome into another edition of Central Indiana Today on 98.9 WYRZ. I'm Rob Kendall, the host of the show. Thanks for joining us. And on the program today, well, this could be our last show, taking a huge career risk by inviting, the We Are Libertarian guys are back. Our good friend Chris Spangle. Chris, hello.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is almost like a radio show.
It's a real radio station. You used to be on one of those, didn't you?
I know, I did. And now I'm locked in the basement with the internet.
And I feel like Chris, while a risk is usually in check with himself about 90% of the time, on the other hand, our other guest today, I'm very, very, very concerned about, Mr. Greg Lenz. Greg, hello.
Well, Rob, how are you, buddy?
I'm great.
Now, this is a nice little setup you have here.
This is the exact opposite read, because Greg is like the nicest person, and when people meet him in person, they come to me and they say, he's not like I thought he was. He's a bully on the internet, but in person, he's a sweetheart. Me, on the other hand,
I'm
grumpy and curmudgeonly all the time.
Yes, you are. So tell everybody again what you guys do. Because I'm going to ask you some libertarian questions today, and people will be going, why am I asking you guys?
Right. We're not libertarians. Why are you?
Well, yes, you are. Yeah, that is your whole mantra.
No, Greg, we are libertarians.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is the name of our podcast, We Are Libertarians. So we talk about libertarian stuff. I was, for 4 years, I was the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana from 08 to 12. And now I work for the Bob and Tom Show, and in that in the 4 year span that I'm going to move on, that we've been doing this, I acquired Greg.
Did you find him in a hole?
I've bought him for a mule and three chickens.
It's a good trade.
Yeah, that mule was getting old anyways, and now I've got my own professional meme department.
Yes, you. So, Greg, you're not even like really a libertarian, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm philosophically a libertarian. I'm just, I really struggle with the Libertarian Party.
You just stop with I struggle.
Yeah, I struggle. I struggle with the Libertarian Party from time to time, especially at the national levels where I really run into issues. And so I tend to vote Republican in times I don't have any confidence in the Libertarian nominee.
Okay, so you guys are with us today because there's some issues that I think you can provide some good insight on, plus you're really funny, and I think our audience will enjoy your sense of humor.
Thank you.
So let's start with the big food fight that is going on in the Libertarian Party. We talk a lot about Republicans in Hendricks County and the west side of Indianapolis, but there is a really interesting thing going on in the Libertarian Party, and that is there is a challenge for the nomination for the Libertarian Party's governor to run for governor this fall. So, Greg, I will start with you. Tell us a little bit about what is going on.
Well, what's going on is there is a former Republican from Hamilton County that's of some notoriety, Jim Wallace, who has decided he would like to pursue the nomination as an outsider. And so over the last 60 days or so, he's put together sort of a pseudo ground campaign to secure the nomination and to throw up some test flares. And the guy challenging him, who is a lifer in the Indiana LP, Rex Bell, to my knowledge, Chris, he's been an elected Libertarian before out in his county.
I don't know if he's been elected. His wife is a town judge out in Hagerstown and has been elected three times.
Yeah. My mother had family in Hagerstown. And actually, my Hagerstown story, when I was 12 years old, my Little League baseball team went to the Little League state finals. This was before all the great Brownsburg Little League teams.
Oh, yeah.
We were the trendsetters. We made it to the state championship game. There's still a banner that flies at the Brownsburg Little League with my name on it. The state finals were in Hagerstown.
He goes and looks at that banner every other
week. Well, you respect your elders.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I am very familiar with Hagerstown. So there's two guys running.
What position did you play?
I was third base.
Nice.
So you
played.
I did. My dad was the manager of the team. That's why I played.
That's why you played.
He played third base, but he's never been there.
Okay, so tell us about this Wallace guy, because he tried to run against Mike Pence in 2012. Ironically, now an issue that we'll talk about in just a second, he got thrown off the ballot for not getting his signatures.
Yeah, I mean, he's what I like to say. He was Todd Young before it was cool. So he's kind of hipster Todd Young up in Hamilton County, and that he was going to challenge Pence, and that seems to be...
Because he's rich, right?
Who knows?
I mean, to the outside observer, yes. I think he had a successful agency financing company back in the early 2000s, late 1990s, TWG Capital, and then that was unfortunately forced into state-administered bankruptcy because of one of their investors. And then after that, followed it up with another agency financing group, the Wellesley Group.
Because I remember when he filed, I was working for Pence's campaign at the time.
Were you?
I remember when he, I've done a lot of things you guys don't know about.
That's cool.
I remember when he did not get his signatures, the whole thing about him was he was going to spend like buku of his own money. He didn't need party money.
He was going to loan
$900,000. I do not have the ability to loan $900,000.
Well, basically, the long story short is that he was told by the Marion County Republicans, "Yeah, you should go." And they tossed out 2,000 of his signatures, and the Marion County Republicans said, "Yeah, go ahead and fight this." And then it was Tom John and the Marion County Republicans that challenged 2,000 of his ballots, and he ended up not making the ballot. And he refused to hire a lawyer against the advice of those of us who were on Rupert's campaign at the time. And Tom John and the Marion County Republicans succeeded in keeping a Republican candidate off of the ballot.
Okay, so this is more a Spangle question because you are like the godfather of libertarian.
President of all.
Yeah, you are the head honcho. They come and kiss your ring finger because like you got libertarians more than 2% of the vote last time around. So you are considered like a Zen master or something.
Dear leader.
Your leader. Do you get angry when the failed Republican guys try to become libertarians?
No, because it just happens so often. It's just, you know, there's every single even-numbered election cycle, there's somebody who comes in and promises to bring over a lot of Republicans or Democrats, to bring in a lot of money, to bring a lot of notoriety. They'll bring in celebrities. And it just never, ever pans out, and it ends up with the same result. And so we've tried a lot of different things, and the fact is that building a political party is a long game, and it takes patience, and it takes a lot of hard work and infrastructure building, and it's not going to happen with flash-in-the-pan candidates.
And the reason I'm having you guys on, well, I like both of you, but and again, I guess Greg Lenz and Chris Spangle of We Are Libertarians, we're discussing this very interesting fight for the nomination for governor for the Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Party's on the rise. There's a lot of people, even inside the Republican Party, with the success of Ron Paul and then Rand Paul, and there's a lot of people with Libertarian leaning. So I think it's a very interesting thing. What happens here could have huge impact on the Libertarian Party going forward. So you don't feel like a second best when I couldn't make it as a Republican, so now I want to be a Libertarian? That doesn't bother you at all?
I think people within the party structure sort of see through that. And I'm not talking about Wallace specifically. I've known him for a long time, and I the first time I talked to him, I talked with him on the phone about running as a libertarian in way late in 2010, and then he met with Eric Holcomb the next day and became a Republican. But we just had one conversation. So I know that he has had libertarian leanings, although we haven't really had in-depth discussions ever until recently. But yeah, there are a lot of Republicans who view there's this thing that goes around at Republican events where you all walk around in all your suits and you know I'm really libertarian, but then if you actually
it's
knew
blazers and khakis,
yeah, but if you actually knew what a libertarian was, you wouldn't be a libertarian, you
because
know?
See, like I feel that way, but I would I and we had this conversation when you were on, Chris. I believe in trying to change the Republican Party from the inside, and we had a nice conversation about that.
Right,
you still look down upon.
Well, your dreams are as big as mine. You think that that's possible, and I think that, you know, Greg could get elected to mayor of Indianapolis.
Well, when I make it great again, I will.
That's
so
right.
I eat those words.
I wrote his name in on the ballot in November. So.
And now you can take a picture of your ballot.
Oh, really?
You know that they that judge over overruled
yes.
that you can now take a picture
you didn't
of your
commit
ballot.
A crime.
It's not a felony anymore.
If I had, so what? Come after me, bro.
So, Linz, you from your, you know, he's really into the libertarian thing. Like that's his deal. You are sort of somebody who will vote for a libertarian. You will not vote for a libertarian.
Yeah, I like to say, like with the Libertarian Party, I am more of a buttress than a pillar. And that
what
I
is
support
what is a buttress?
Support it from the outside, okay. Like on a cathedral.
Right,
oh, he's a buttress, all right.
Yes, I'm definitely a buttress. But that's the way I look at it. Is I am all for the Libertarian Party. I think they have the most coherent and consistent political philosophy. The Republican Party has, over the years, changed and redefined their platform, and I see that a rebirth happening.
What is
happening.
The Republican platform anymore? Do you know?
Right now?
Yeah, like what is it?
Oh, yeah. So
ban Muslims, keep them all out.
That's one guy running for president has made that
60% in exit polling yesterday. 66. Of the Republic 66 of the 66 Republican Party.
66% of Americans want a safe America. That is not a bad thing.
Now, so when you see Wallace as an outside observer who would is likely to probably vote for governor for a libertarian, do you look at him as a fraud or do you think it's like legit or what's the deal?
Oh, I do. I think his political philosophy is legitimate. I think he is very much more someone that wants to play the game though. I look at him like Rand Paul. I look at Rex Bell like Ron Paul.
Who's the other guy who's running?
Yep. Who's the other guy who's running? And, you know, for me, I love Rex. I think Rex is one of the most honest, hardworking, committed guys to liberty who's been out there shouting it alone forever. And I don't see, even though I like Jim and respect him, especially his business accomplishments and especially how he sells sort of a new age of liberty, Rex is just, that's the stalwart for me that he embodies Hoosier to me.
Okay, so how does the libertarian nomination process work? It's not like you go vote in a primary, right? You got to go to some sort of convention with
no,
you guys?
No, Rob. The primaries are actually closed party business, not open to regular citizens, so, just party membership, and the taxpayers pay for it, Mr. Fiscal Conservative.
So that's my question to you guys, is like you guys will... What do? Because you're a Republican, and I know you want to vote for Trump, so you're out on this one?
No, I'll go. And I'm going to vote for Rex, and I'll go support Rex. I'll probably
join
the LP.
You're going to miss a chance to vote for Trump?
No, I'm voting for Trump, absolutely.
So how do you participate in the...
Okay, let me break it
down. Take the audience through how this works.
Right. I do what I want.
So Republicans and Democrats meet in the primary system, and then, you know, your convention is basically...
The only thing we pick are the attorney general, the treasurer, the secretary of state, and the auditor at the convention.
Right. Now, a true fiscal conservative would say that you should pick all of your candidates at the
convention. Well, I'm not opposed to having the party pay for the primary.
Right.
Either way.
And so the libertarians do it differently. It's the membership that picks the candidates. And so
you have some sort of convention?
We have a convention. It's in April, I think April 21st.
You guys wear like capes and hats?
No, it's not. What is that?
We're not tinfoilitarians, okay?
Right, yeah. County parties meet and they have their county conventions and they select delegates to the state convention.
Okay.
And so it'll be somewhere between 80 to 100 delegates that go and vote on the nominees at the convention.
When is this?
This is April 21st here in Indy.
As a member of the media, can I be a special guest?
Absolutely.
I would love to cover this.
Let's do an episode at the convention with Rob Kendall.
I think this would be fascinating. I'm so excited about the Republican convention this year because 2 years ago I had to go as a delegate. And that was awful. Because you had to be responsible and vote, and you had to sit through all the meetings. This time I can go as a member of the media and just go to all the fun stuff and not have to go vote.
The one and only time I've ever been on the ballot, because I will never run for office, mainly because of my podcast and Greg. I'm damaged goods now.
I'm political kryptonite.
Yeah. I was elected delegate, and I was 9th out of 15.
Congratulations.
I actually grew up in Plainfield.
And you had a huge disadvantage as your name starts with an S, your last name.
Yeah, and so I managed to pull it through, went as a delegate, and I thought I was actually going to get to do stuff, and then I realized this was 2004. I was like, oh, my vote doesn't matter at all to this party, and that was one of the first steps to being disillusioned.
Okay,
by the
so there, so there's like eight, and again, our guest Greg Linz, Chris Spangle from the We Are Libertarians, is it network? Is that what I'd call you guys?
Yeah, just podcast.
Empire.
Yeah.
So you go to this convention, and these guys give a speech. They wow you with their charm. Is that...
Well, so what happens is...
Because at the Republican one, there was alcohol, there was...
Oh, there's alcohol,
oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But it's a two-hour business meeting generally, and we go through a lot of stuff like bylaws, just like the other parties.
Right.
But when you select in this particular case, because we have a contested race, there will be a small debate... And then the candidates will be asked to leave the room. The delegates will then discuss amongst themselves the pros and cons of said candidates.
Oh, so they're not in the room.
No. And then
bash away.
No. And that is really kind of the time. I mean, it is like a caucus
right.
where, you know, the people who are in the middle look to the people who they, you know, for instance, I'm a former executive director. I have recruited a lot of the county party chairman. I know a lot of people. So they'll look at me and go, okay, where are you going? Versus, you know, another guy who is in their county party who is swayed one way. So a lot can change. It's very fluid.
What do you vote on? I mean, like, what do you factor in?
In this case, it will be Rex Bell, Jim Wallace, or none of the above. And then it's cast by secret ballot. And then that is tallied. Several people go and tally to make sure that the vote is, you know, perfectly.
Have you guys advanced enough where you actually have like an electronic ballot, or are you still chicken scratching?
Oh, no, it's 80 to 100 people. There's no sense in doing anything electronic.
I mean,
it's something that, you know, it's still a small enough group that everybody trusts each other.
Okay. So then somebody will be the winner and the Libertarian nominee for governor.
Correct.
Excellent. And I'm excited to go to this now.
Yep. The last I went to one in 2014, is that right?
I think so.
Yeah, in Columbus, and they also had the executive director up for, or not executive director,
the chairman.
Chairman.
Okay. All right, so let's move on. There was a big issue at the state level again this year. It seems to be coming up every year, and it was, I don't even know what you'd call it. I guess you'd call it changes to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Better known as simplified LGBT rights, and nothing happened with this, and people were in an uproar for like 2 weeks both ways, and ultimately nothing happened. And Greg, I know you studied this issue at great length, and it was something you paid attention to. What happened, if anything?
Nothing. I mean, the bill was an absolute bastardization of the prior existing legislation, which was based on a federal statute. So I don't think this was done well in the press by either side. I think it became who can shout the loudest and label each other with extremist positions. And then ultimately, the legislature, David Long, Senate
Pro Tem.
Yeah, he, you know, came out and said, listen, we're going to revisit this, but not right now. We're going to handle other things.
Spangle, would you agree with that? Is that a fair synopsis that Linz gave?
Every synopsis that Greg gives is fair. Yes. I agree.
Okay, so my question that I put out on social media, and I meant this genuinely, because I said, if we're going to be passing laws, there needs to be a reason we're passing laws. Can anyone show me one documented case? Because this primarily centered around housing discrimination, work discrimination based on your sexual orientation. And because they try to say, well, this isn't about making cake makers make cakes or pizza makers make pizzas. And so I said, okay, can someone produce for me one definitive case that would get to court and would hold up in court, because that's what you're fighting for, is the right to sue. And nobody could do it. So why were they going after this? Like, if nobody's being discriminated against, why was all this effort being wasted on both sides, and why did we pass the law to begin with?
Because, A, they had to look like they were doing something, they being the General Assembly, because it's an economic issue, because we're losing convention business.
$60 million.
Yeah. And B, it is one of the few issues that raises money for political parties. It's hard to get people to pay attention to politics anymore. But people will pay it. I just hit puberty here right on the air, everybody. Congratulations.
At 32.
You witnessed a man, a boy becoming a man.
A man becoming a Z.
Man, yeah, beta. And gay rights, abortion, these issues raise money for political parties and interest groups. I mean, there are, you know, many people listening are probably Republican. You know, the Indiana Family Institute raises a lot of money when this issue comes up. So get one of your cronies who work for the General Assembly to introduce a bill that helps you raise money.
Yeah, it's the traditional Christian values for profit crowd. Like,
right.
That's what this is the dirty little secret of Republican politics is that you can't raise money on a new tax plan.
Right.
Or flattening the tax code. So what you can is on guns and then on cultural decay. And
yeah.
You can stoke and flame these wars the longer the legislation kind of meanders its way through committee. But this thing was loaded with amendments that were terrible. The bill, when I read it, the digest of it online, I was like, this makes it sound like it's you can't not rent a house to a gay person. And like, I don't know how this is going to be extended to everything else in commerce. And I think in hindsight, that was the point, is that it looks like we care. We're going to reassess this at a later time when things aren't so volatile.
The other issue is that people look at these bills and they go, well, this doesn't make any sense. Well, there's a lot of bills that don't make sense. It's just they're traffic bills, so you don't pay attention to it. You know, there's 1,200 bills filed every General Assembly, and a lot of them don't make sense, and they're very silly.
Is that the problem? Because each of these guys gets like 10 bills in the Senate, I think it is, and they feel like they've got to file 10 bills?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a lot of it. I think it, even though the Republicans have a supermajority, they want to show their constituents that they are showing up for work and doing a lot of work, and they've got very limited time. You know, this is a short session, correct?
Right.
And so this is only a 2 or 3 month session. And so they want to look like they're proactive, especially on this issue, given all of the politics around it.
I worked at the state for 2 years. I left a much different person than I came in. I believe most of these guys are idiots and have no idea what they're doing. Am I wrong?
No. When Mitch left and Pence came in, they let go of all the Mitch people, and then they hired all the Pence people to run agencies. And so, like, guys who were out pushing mailers, I mean,
Mark Warner specifically.
I was thinking Rob Kendall.
Sorry, Mark.
You know, then they're put in charge of some government agency because they were really good at campaigning for the candidate. Right. And so you're not hiring the best and the brightest. You're hiring Rob Kendall.
I left. I left. The reason I left is because I didn't feel like state government was interested in being run like a business. It was not interested in progress for the taxpayers. So when I was director for Board of Pharmacy, our applications were up, our licenses issued were up, and they kept getting on me about, you're not doing it the way we've told you to do it. And I thought, but the way you've told me to do it is archaic, it's awful, and it's ineffective for the people that pay our salaries.
That's right. Because bureaucrats see the changes all the time within these organizations. And so they feel they have to protect the integrity of the organization and protect their phony baloney jobs. And so the problem with ever-increasing government, both Republican and Democratic version, is that it creates perverse incentives. And so it's not that people are evil. It's that the bureaucracies create things that are not able to be changed easily, and those incentives – people are self-interested, and they want to protect themselves.
Again, our guests is Chris Spangle and Greg Lentz from We Are Libertarians. Want to close on this before we get to our final fun topic for the day. I think Pence is in real trouble.
Do you?
I do. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. I mean, if that campaign had gone on 2 more weeks, John Gregg would have been elected. And we've got a redo, only Pence is much more weakened. And the Libertarian candidate, either one, is going to be a pretty strong candidate. And I think that Pence has lost. I mean, the Holcomb move, I think he's hoping to signal to the Hamilton County crowd and the donut counties in around Marion County that, hey, please give me money. Please come out and support me, because he really needs you guys here in the donut counties to step up for him, or he will lose.
Right.
See, I think the opposite way. I think he wins bigger than he won last time. I think Holcomb is a sign that he's moving in the right direction of getting good people around him and not just yes men. And I've always thought Mike Pence is a political heavyweight who was better suited to being out in the media like he did when he was a congressman on the Sunday shows leading the charge, while having staffers around him be the ones who craft legislation and administer. The governor's job is so drastically different than that it has been 4 years of learning. He stumbled through a lot of it, but now he's come around. And John Gregg, to me, is... it's not like this guy's some pillar of liberalism or bastion of freedom that loves homosexuals and trans. I mean, John Gregg is, Mike Pence made us look bad. That's my campaign platform for 2016.
And real quick, I think you see the Chris Christie argument against Marco Rubio in Mike Pence versus Mitch Daniels. You see somebody who was used to talking for a living in the House and then had to actually go run something. And being an executive, even in the government, is much more difficult than it is being a person who just talks for a living.
I always struggled with that. I felt like the people around him had not adapted to that they weren't in Washington anymore. And I felt like working there, that it was not being run in the fashion. But I'm sure all government is that way. I just didn't have the patience to sit through it anymore.
Sure.
Keep taking a check.
Yeah, and as libertarians, it's awful, the idea that government might be run well. So we always celebrate the idea of bureaucratic inefficiency. But, you know, Mitch was a guy that came up as a bureaucrat and had an element of bureaucratic skill and wasn't an ideologue. It's the exact opposite for Pence, and the 4 years have been tough, but I mean, getting Holcomb is a win for Hoosiers, and it's a win for him because it's a signal that he's willing to take advice from excellent
people.
And
I feel pretty thrilled. I saw Eric Holcomb give his final speech as a candidate for U.S. Senate in Cass County at the Lincoln Day.
Really?
So a little bit of history there.
I've always liked, I mean, Eric Holcomb, when I was executive director, he was the chief of staff. He was always very fair to us, always he would invite the chairman and I to come and have conversations with him. And here, what was?
Did you wear a suit?
I did. Yeah.
You didn't wear your tie dye shirt.
No, I think I don't. I think I did once, but
he's gotten rid of all those, by the way. To mine, I haven't seen him in one.
I have them. I just wear black.
Well, you're much thinner now.
I wear semi-athletic barbecue dad clothes, according to my girlfriend Emma. But Holcomb was always willing to sit down and listen and hear what our priorities were as a party, and then consider those. And that's certainly nothing that would happen with the Mike Pence administration.
All right, want to wrap up with this again? Greg Lenz, Chris Spangle of We Are Libertarians, my guest today. Chris Spangle feels as though he could potentially be disenfranchised because he signed a ballot access petition. That was 2015, you said.
No,
it
makes no difference to me if Todd Young is on the ballot or not. I could care less because I'm not going to vote for him. I'm not going to vote for the Republican nominee.
But you had
Senate.
Some long post today about feeling disenfranchised
or
something.
No, that's because you can't read, and so you always twist my words. And I don't expect you to know how to read because you work in radio. But I signed...
So real quick, what happened is Todd Young is running for U.S. Senate, and in full fairness, disclosure, I am for Marlon Stutzman. But Todd Young is the guy he's running against, is for running for U.S. Senate. You have to get 500 signatures per congressional district in Indiana to get on the ballot. And now the Democrat Party is contesting that Todd Young did not get 500 signatures in the first congressional district. And if you believe the media, which recounted today, he did not. Spangle was nice and signed for Young last year.
Yeah, as I exited the polls after I voted for Greg Lenz for mayor of Indianapolis, I signed a petition to put Todd Young on the ballot. And that is because I feel that a candidate participating in the electoral process and putting their name on the ballot is exercising their First Amendment right. And I believe that petitioning is a barrier to people exercising their First Amendment right.
So are you cool with the vermin guy from New Hampshire getting on the ballot? You okay with it?
Absolutely.
You don't want a pony?
You don't want... See, this is the problem with Republicans. They love choice financially.
just ask
but
a
then
question.
Once you get into electoral choice, then all of a sudden people might not do exactly what you want them to do. So we better put archaic laws like making some guy who's going to go participate in our closed party primary that the taxpayers, by the way, are going to pay for. Then we need to make sure that people, we control access to the primary so the correct candidate is chosen.
So
it's stupid.
He's a big advocate for the GOP, in case you weren't sure.
Yeah, he was clearly harmed by some member of the GOP
life. I just think the Democrats are a little more honest about what they actually they practice what they preach.
Screwing you. We're going to screw you.
Republicans say one thing and do something
so
different.
But you would agree, because Lynn, you have studied this closely, he's in some trouble.
Do I think he's in trouble?
Yeah, do you
I think he is in serious trouble, and yeah. I think Marlon is going to run unopposed.
Because I've tried to play this through in my head, like, how does this play out where he stays on the ballot? Other than the election board saying, if indeed he is at 497, which there's 88 contested on top of that, but let's just say he's at the 497, unless the media can't count, which also a possibility, how does the election board go, well, the law says this, but we don't care?
Well, I think there could be a Bob Grand Christmas miracle, and all of a sudden he hits, you know, 501 mythically like a phoenix out of the ashes, and all of a sudden Marlon Stutzman has to run against the establishment, which he has already repeatedly had to do for having the gall to just go ahead and act without asking for permission.
One of the protections that libertarians have is that we don't have to petition, and you don't have to petition until
you hit. Is that because Rupert got more than 2%?
No, and so the way that it works is Secretary of State, you hit 2%, you get automatic ballot access. You hit 10%, you have a primary, and you have to start petitioning. And again, the petitioning is an incumbent protection system. And I'm surprised that he has experienced campaign staff. He's an experienced campaigner, and the rule generally is get 150 to 200%. So if you need 500, you do 750 to 1,000, just to be safe.
Especially in Lake County.
Right. So like I said, Jim Wallace Well, there's Lake County when Barack Obama was petitioning, the mayor of Gary said to Obama's people, "Let me know how many signatures you need. I have them in my desk drawer."
Ha ha.
And that wasn't, that's not a joke. That's
so lore. What is, so you guys see it as anybody that wants to run anytime, pop in, boom.
Free market.
You don't have to prove that you're serious about it. Nothing.
I think if you are a political party, you should hit 0.5% in any one of the statewide races. That's 10,000 Hoosiers. That to me signifies that you are an organized political party, not 35,000 like it is at 2% in just the Secretary of State's race.
That's for ballot access.
That's for ballot access.
Okay.
And then I don't think there should be petitioning. If you are having a primary system, if you have 15 candidates on the primary ballot, so be it. I mean, that choice just empowers the voter to make better decisions. And I also think that we need to rethinking redistricting put forth by Todd Rokita was a great idea. We need to end gerrymandering. And we
Todd Rokita's our congressman.
Yeah, and I supported him wholeheartedly in that, and that's why he couldn't run for Senate, is because the county chairs were all very pissed that he put that forth.
He and his principles. Get him out of here.
Well, and Todd's a good friend of the station, on the show quite a bit.
Yeah, so you want more choice, and if you want to get more voter participation, voters have to feel like they are involved, and we clearly don't have a two-party system. If you look at Donald Trump, Chris Christie, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, they're very different. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are very different. We don't have a two-party system in the age of the internet, so why would we have a two-party system in our elections?
So should everybody just be able to put their name on as an independent, like a school board, and run, or do you agree with the identification of political parties?
I think that you absolutely should have political parties, and I do think that there should be primaries. I don't think there should be straight ticket voting. I think that encourages lazy voters and also minimizes the ability of third parties to rise. But yeah, if you have a Republican primary, what's the difference? You absolutely should have Todd Young on the ballot. You absolutely should have five other candidates on the primary ballot. The cream will rise to the top. And that is a fundamental principle of any Republican or Democrat that believes in the free market. Why not believe in the free market of ideas in our election system?
Especially when you know, when you carry that out, it's that competition is the best outcome for the consumer. And so when you have the most competitors, it'd be like if there was only Walmart and Kmart. You want as many entrants as possible, and that's the best outcome.
We basically have let Coke and Pepsi rewrite the laws and put in protections to make sure that RC Cola never gets a
And now we get John Gregg and Mike Pence.
Right.
Okay, so we will close with this. Last night was a great night for Linz and myself, as Donald Trump did win the New Hampshire primary.
Crushed.
Not only wins overwhelmingly. Spangle, you hate Trump.
I think he's an absolute. He's a disaster, first and foremost. And secondly, he is exactly the candidate that the American political system deserves.
All right, so Linz, we will start with you. You love Trump.
I love Trump. I love the so I listened to Stephen Colbert give his reasoning for why he wasn't so anti-Trump, and it was that it's great to know that the political establishment can be upended, and that the American voter, even though it's misguided in a lot of cases, what they do want is still strong enough to overturn the status quo and Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton with Bernie Sanders. I celebrate that on both sides. And for Donald Trump, I think you have to separate what he actually stands for versus his persona. And so if you look at it, he has the best tax plan fiscally. He's the most non-interventionist, which is my position. I don't think we need to rebuild or democracy build in Iraq or anywhere else. Although I am different, your traditional libertarian, like once we get hit, I believe in making sure you never get hit again. And that's where I run into libertarians' issues.
That's the case for a lot of non-interventionists.
So why do you hate Trump?
I think that
you for illegal immigration? Like, is that your deal?
I'm for open borders.
Right.
I mean, that's
but
the libertarian ideal.
I'm not arguing against Trump on issues because you can't pin down his issues, which is my issue with Donald Trump. My issue with Donald Trump is that he has taken political pragmatism to a point that you don't know what the guy believes, and he is literally saying whatever it takes to get elected. And that is very dangerous when you have a republic like ours, or a democracy in some cases.
So do you not think he'd be a good president, or you just don't like the way he's going about it?
I don't think
elected?
He'd be a good president. I think that he is his days of coalition building and his days of I just don't think he's a serious person, candidate.
So
and he won't be
a guy like me, who is governed and governed effectively, likes Trump because he is saying things I've waited a very long time to hear, even though I'm not sure he actually believes them. He's an agitator to people that I don't like. And people that have done a lot of harm in terms of our governmental system. And I wrote a column for Forefront the other day about just this. Who else am I supposed to look to that has a chance?
I'm sorry, but government is life and death for a lot of people, and your catharsis has no place in this process.
I have no idea what he just said. Those are words that I do not
understand.
You
feeling better doesn't give you license to vote for somebody who's bad just because it makes you feel better.
Right, and Donald Trump is someone that doesn't have the temperament to be president. Instead of accepting his loss and moving on to New Hampshire, he spent days fretting and worrying and being sad and hurt over the fact that people didn't like him in Iowa and he didn't win. That's not how government works. That's not how politics works. It's not how any of this works. I mean, you have to be someone, and this is my problem with Ted Cruz, although ideologically I am more with Ted Cruz, but Rick Santorum was right, and this is literally the only time I'll ever say this. The guy walks around bragging about how everybody hates Ted Cruz in Washington, D.C. Well, the job of being president is that you have to be a coalition builder and you have to get big things done in a gridlock city. And if everybody hates you, you're not going to achieve anything.
But Hillary Clinton pretty much embodies everything you've just said, does she not? She's hated. She'll say anything to get elected.
Yeah, because here's my thing with you, Spangle. I feel like you're way too focused on Trump and you don't focus enough on Obama and the Democrats who have actually had the power to do things that affected people's lives.
Obama is irrelevant.
Well,
Obama is completely irrelevant at this point.
But he's the president. Trump has never taxed anyone. He's never enacted a law that's affected people's lives. He's never taken anyone's health care away from him. I just feel like you're really focused on Trump because I feel like personality-wise, you don't like him and you don't think he's genuine.
That's part of it, but I also just don't think he would be a good president. I think he'd be a dangerous president. I think that he would be a disaster in foreign relations. I think that he is too old to do the job. And you can say, yeah, here's a guy who built...
He's the most physically fit president ever if he got elected. His
doctor
said so.
Yeah, and so is Kim Jong-un, okay? That was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. There are people who just don't have the ability to be president. And there is... not only do I disagree with Trump on a lot of things ideologically, because I have two very distinct split personalities when it comes to politics.
Oh, you could have just stopped with two very distinct personalities.
I am a pragmatist who thinks that Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton would be the most effective presidents, and I'm also the person who is wildly ideological who thinks that Gary Johnson is the best man for the job.
Okay, guys, this has been a blast. I'm glad we got to do it. Closing comments?
That's the nice thing. Chris and I can always disagree, and it's not going to affect, whatever. And I think that's what needs to happen more within the Republican Party is there's so much uniformity, especially when you see that they're all coalescing behind a guy that can't get 500 signatures, and they don't like the guy that stands by his principles and makes people upset. I like that. And that's, that's what the Republican Party needs, and that's why I'm experiencing some schadenfreude watching them squabble and complain and people put out press releases saying, oh no, this is just undermined. This is bad politics.
It is nice to see them get bit by their own policies.
Especially establishment ones. Oh. Rhinos like Mark Warner.
Guys, this has been fun. Thanks for doing it.
Don't I get my final
word?
Yeah,
no, you do. Absolutely.
All right.
Because we're also using this for the We Are Libertarians podcast.
Absolutely.
Which is why it went a little long.
Yeah. All right, cool. Go to wearelibertarians.com if you want to know more about the libertarian movement or what a libertarian is. We've got a button that says The Path to Libertarianism. Check that out. And I'm going to stump for Rex Bell. Go check out rexbell.com and read through what the guy's about, or elect Rex Bell for governor. I think if you're looking for a third choice in the governor's race, he's your man.
All right. Greg Lenz, Chris Spangle. Don't forget, if you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast anytime you want by logging onto the website at wyrz.org. Until next time, I'm Rob Kendall saying have yourself a great evening.